Hey, this is Cindy Harmon with Real Walk. Did you know we now have a number where you can text me? It's a fun way to stay connected. If you have any questions or comments about an episode or just anything in general, I'd love to hear from you. The number is 662-597-1738. Hey, y'all. I hope you are having a great week. Y'all, I know I tell you this every week that I'm excited about this episode, but I am truly, I am pumped about this week's episode. A few months ago, I was given the opportunity to speak at my church, speak, preach, whatever. But y'all, I really enjoyed it. I really did. It was, I guess you could say, it just kind of came natural. But I will tell you this, it was a message that the Lord laid on my heart. And I want to share it. I want y'all to hear it. And y'all take a listen and let me know what you think. I love hearing from y'all from week to week. So y'all take a listen and enjoy. Love y'all.
Tonight we have a special opportunity to listen to an amazing lady who's going to share what God has placed upon her heart. Of course, as you've noticed, tonight's a little different. The Hughleys are out of town, and we pray safe travels over them. We hope they come home safely to us, which we know that they will. But tonight we have an amazing opportunity to listen to what Miss Cindy, what God has placed upon her heart. So at this time, as she comes forward, let's all give her a hand for being obedient in the Lord. And we pray that the Lord calms your nerves and gives you the words to speak.
You know me, don't you? Oh, my goodness, y'all. I'm so excited to be up here. I want to take this opportunity real quick to... some of y'all may not know, but the last 3 weeks have just been kind of like a blur to all of our family. My sister passed away this past Friday. We had her funeral yesterday. But I'll just tell you, it is just unreal to be a part of a church family like y'all. Y'all are amazing. And I just say thank you, and I love each and every one of you so, so, so much. If you haven't been coming to 21 Days of Prayer, make an effort to come. It is absolutely amazing. I told Randy Catherine, we were at visitation the other night, and I told her, I said, I want y'all go. I said, you can go and you can, you know, come back by the funeral home or whatever. I said, but y'all just go. She said, Mama, you know how to pray. I need to be here with you. And I said, but Randy Catherine, just go on and go. When she got back, she said, Mama, I'm blown away to be in this room with all these people lifting up their prayers for you and for me and for our church and all these prayer requests up here. It's just amazing how the Holy Spirit just works. So if you haven't been coming, you know, if you can't come every night, it's okay. But if you can come any nights, just come, and I promise you will receive a blessing. So I was supposed to speak. Y'all heard what Tracy said a minute ago. I was supposed to speak, talk about fear a little bit, calm my nerves, back in April. And I'd already been feeling kind of like I wanted to speak. And Tracy and Brother Greg asked me to. And I said, yes. But as it got close, I chickened out. And then I was supposed to again. I was like, no. And so a couple weeks ago, I got really serious with the Lord. And I fasted for a couple days. And the Lord just took away. I'm not going to tell you I'm not nervous up here right now, because I am. It looks like there are 10,000 people sitting out there right now. But my courage is in the Lord. And I just pray that I'll be a vessel for Him and that I'll say what He wants me to say. So with that being said, how many of you have your Bibles? Got your Bible app on your phone? Let me see them. Hold them up. All right, let's get down to God's word, okay? Before we start, we're going to be in John chapter 9, so if you want to go ahead and get there. And before we start, let's go to the word, and let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father God, I come to you, Lord, and I thank you so much for this day today. God, I thank you for giving me this word, Lord. God, I just ask you to use me to speak the words that you once said tonight. God, I thank you for each person that's here. God, I just ask you to bless them. Lord, remove any distractions. And Lord, just soften hearts, Lord, and help us to get real with you, God. Just to really, really press into you, Lord. And no matter, Lord, the outcome, God, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, God. And we thank you in your holy and precious name. Amen. Y'all ever been around a know-it-all? Susie's over here laughing. Y'all ever been around a know-it-all? You know what I'm talking about? Like somebody that, over here, we're shaking heads over here. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Somebody that it has to be their way or no way. Like ladies, you know, they have the best. This person that is a know-it-all, they have the best Amazon link. They, you know, they have, I don't know if it's cooking. I don't know if it's shopping. But, you know, you have this great idea, but theirs is the best. And theirs is the way. You know what I'm talking about? Guys, it may be fishing, hunting, sports, mechanics, I don't know. You know, you could have this great thing that worked out, you know, and you're like, let me show you. No. My way. My way is the best way. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Shake your heads. Come on. It's okay. You know what I'm talking about. Know-it-alls. Yeah, that's what I like to call them. So we're going to look at some know-it-alls in this passage we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to meet some know-it-alls. But before we do, let's get started, okay? John chapter 9, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. I'm going to read a little bit, so just hang on, okay? So in John chapter 9, the title of this chapter is Jesus Heals a Man Born Blind. There was a man that was born blind. I mean, he had never, ever been able to see. Never. Like, he wasn't blind just for a couple years. Like, he had seen, you know, different things. He'd never been able to see. And so Jesus and his disciples are walking up where this man's at. And the disciples say to Jesus, got this blind man here, Jesus. Who sinned? Did he sin? Or did his parents sin? Because somebody done sinned up in here, caused this man to be blind. And Jesus said, no, that's not how it is. That is not how this situation is. So I just want to stop right here just for a second. And I just want to say that, you know, I know in the past, before Jesus changed me, that I was that kind of person. That if I saw somebody, you know, going through a tragedy or going through a hard time, I would be like, ooh, I wonder what they've done. I wonder what caused that. Y'all ever been like that before? It's okay to be honest. It is. But that's not how it is, y'all. That is not how God works. I used to also think that, God was up there in heaven, and when Cindy messed up, like he had this whip getting ready to crack it, you know, and get me every time I messed up. That's not how he works. He loves us. He loves us more than we can even fathom, more than we can understand. And the only way I know how to compare that is, we have two grands and one on the way. And let me tell you something. I love my kids. Sorry, Trent. But let me tell you something. There is a love that I have for these babies and this new one that's coming that I can't explain. If you're a grandparent, then you get it. Jesus loves us more than that, y'all. He loves us more than that. And I wouldn't do anything to harm those babies. And he's the same way. So always remember that. Always hold on to that. Okay, hold on to that. So listen to what Jesus says. And y'all, I have a hard time seeing with these contacts. But he says, Jesus answered, it's not this man's sin or his parents' sin that made him blind. This man was born blind. Are you ready? So that God's power could be shown in him. Y'all, that's why this man was born blind. So that God could show his power down the road somewhere. Wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be great if we viewed our problems, you know, just waiting on God to give me some glory through this. But instead, I'm afraid we walk around and we're like, man, you wouldn't believe what's happened. Man, how can this be going on, you know? And we're just grumbling and complaining, and all the time, God's using this problem, whatever it is we're going through, to draw us to him, to make us more like him so that he can be glorified. Let's just think about that next time a problem comes along. So keep on going down to verse 6.
And after Jesus said this to the disciples, y'all know this story. You know this story? I've heard this story all my life. And it was just only until a couple weeks ago, the Lord showed me all this. But we know that he spit on the ground. And he spit on the ground and he picked up the dirt. And he made mud. He made kind of like a paste. And it says he put the mud on the man's eyes. Now let's stop right there, okay? That took some faith right there. I don't know about y'all, but it'd be kind of hard for somebody just to spit. Y'all grinning. You get it, don't you? It'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it? To just let somebody spit and then, and you can't see who this person is. You're blind, okay? So that took faith. Kudos right there off the bat, okay? But he allowed God, who he didn't even know who he was, to put this on his eyes. You know why this man did this? You know why he let Jesus do this? It wasn't because he was Jesus, because he didn't know who he was. But he let him do this because he was desperate. He was desperate for the Lord. Have you ever been there before? I've been there before. And when you really get desperate for God, things will happen. Our perspective is totally different when we really get desperate. He didn't care that that man you spit. He just said, I need somebody. I need something. And he allowed that man, who we know was Jesus, he allowed him to put that on his eyes. And listen next. He put the mud on the man's eyes, and then he told the man, he said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. So we're going to hang out right here just for a second, okay? He told the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And I got to thinking about the word go, y'all. I got to thinking about how many times in Scripture Jesus, God, the Lord said, go. You know, you've heard the verse, go and make disciples, okay? He told Jonah, he said, go to Nineveh. We know how that turned out, don't we? He told Moses to go. He told Abraham to go. He's telling us all the time to go. And y'all, I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't know where you are. Maybe you are on fire for God. Maybe you are getting up every single morning and you are in the Word and you are saying, Holy Spirit, what you got for me today? Come up, because I'm following you. Maybe you're there. Maybe that's where you are. Or maybe, you know, you're slipping a little bit. You're not in the Word like you should be. You know there's things that the Lord wants you to do. Maybe you have no idea what I'm even talking about right now. Maybe you've never gone all in with Christ. Maybe you've just kind of gone halfway in with him. It doesn't matter where you are in your walk. That's the point I'm trying to make. It doesn't matter where you are in your walk. He's telling you to go. He's telling you and me to go do something. You're like, what do you mean go do something? I don't know. Only you know what he wants you to do. A couple years ago, he told me and Randy to go and be baptized. You think that was hard? At the age I am, at the age we are, and we've been saying we're saved and we've already been baptized all of our lives. You don't think that wasn't hard? You better believe it was. You don't think Satan didn't try to talk me out of it? It was hard. And y'all know, anybody that's ever been in my small group, you know that I always say, Susan Jolly, what does God say about obedience? He always what? Blesses. God always, always blesses obedience. So I don't know what your go is. Maybe he wants you to go all in with him. Maybe he wants you to go tell your story. Maybe he wants you to go tell what he's done for you. Maybe he wants you to go and forgive, go and apologize, go restore a relationship. I don't know what it is, but I promise you, there's something he wants you and me to go and do. But look what happened to this man. It says that the man went to the pool and he washed and he came back. And look at this next sentence. He said, and he was able to see. He was able to see. What would have happened if that man had not gone and washed, y'all? Come on, what would have happened? He would have still been blind, wouldn't he? But because he obeyed, because he did what the Lord told him to go do, because he obeyed, then he was given his sight. Isn't that cool? Isn't that neat? No, it works the same way with us today. It works the exact same way. The exact same way. Let's keep moving on. I want to kind of paint this picture for you. This man had neighbors. This man had friends, so-called friends. And it says right here that some people had seen this man begging before. And the man's neighbors said, "Look, is this the same man who always sits and begs?" And some said, "Yeah, he's the one." But another one said, "No, he's not the same man. That just looks like him." Well, I just want to stop right here real quick, okay? Y'all, this man had been born blind. I just want you just to picture that in your mind just for a minute, okay? Just picture if that were you that had been born blind and you had your sight. I don't know about y'all, but I would bet, y'all know me. Randy said this morning, "See, you get a little excited." I said, "Well, I can't help it. The Lord has just done this work, and I get excited about the Lord." But let me tell you something. If I got my sight back, I would probably be running and screaming and hollering like a crazy woman. I would be saying, "Oh, my goodness, I see the sky, fish, water. I see myself. I see my dog. I see my parents." This man was, wouldn't y'all be that way? Yes, you would be so excited. But look what his neighbors did. They were standing over here saying, "Is that really him? No, that's not him. That just looks like him." Y'all, come on. Do you ever get excited about the Lord? Do you ever just get stirred up about something that you've read in Scripture that he showed you? Or maybe you've prayed and prayed and prayed for something and oh my goodness, the Lord just answered. Y'all are not going to believe this. And you just got to pick up the phone and you got to call somebody. And you call and you say, "Let me tell you what the Lord has done." And you can hear it on the end of the line. They're like, "Yeah." And you're just like a balloon that just deflates. Y'all ever been there before? Man, y'all, let's don't be those people. Let's be excited. Let's be encouraging. Let me tell you, last night after prayer, I went up to Laura Randolph. And let me tell you something. That woman is excited and her husband is excited. And these kids of theirs right here are so excited about what the Lord is doing. And I couldn't get a word in edgewise with Laura. I mean, that's how excited she is. And that's how it ought to be. And I hoped that I was encouraging to her. You know, I've gone out and I've told my story before. And I know people have looked at me and been like, "Well, she's a freak, you know?" No, I'm not. I'm a Jesus freak. They might look at me and like, I have three heads maybe, you know? Like, what is she talking about? I don't want to be that kind of person, y'all. I'll tell you one more incident that really blessed my heart. About a month ago, there was a lady that came to our church, and we were having baptisms that day. It's about a month ago, and this was her first time to ever come to Forward Church. And she said that she just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit so heavily that she stayed afterwards for baptism, and we watched her. She started taking her shoes off, and she said, "I want to get baptized." I went over, I talked to her afterwards, introduced myself. She started coming to small group, and man, she's been a blessing to me. And this past Monday night after visitation, my mom and my sister and I went to El Toro, and Miss Donna, sitting right back there, Miss Donna saw me. And she came over, and y'all, she was talking 90 miles an hour. She really was. You know what she was talking about? She was talking about the Lord. She was talking about Jesus, y'all, and what he's doing in her life. And that is so encouraging. And whenever she left, I looked at my mom and my sister. I said, "She's on fire for God." My sister said, "Yeah, you can tell, you know, but it's so exciting, y'all. So let's don't be like these neighbors and these friends." And you may be thinking, "Well, I'm not going to be like that. I won't be like that. I'll be, no, we can't fake it. We can't fake Jesus, okay? You can't fake the Holy Spirit working inside of you. I'm sorry, but you can't. Get up in the morning and start your day with Jesus. Start it with him and ask him, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to eat?" You know, I want all of you, Jesus, not just part of you. I want all of you. So they ask the blind man some more questions. And they said, in verse 10, it says, what happened? How did you get your sight? And he answered, the man named Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. And then he told me to go to the Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed and I came back seeing. And they asked him, well, where is this man? I love this part, y'all. You ready? I love this part. He says, the man answered, I don't know. I mean, he didn't know. Don't you know they thought he was crazy? I don't know. But I mean, he was blind. He didn't know. You have to understand that he did not know this was Jesus, okay? That's very important, okay? So now we come to the part of the story where we get to meet the know-it-alls, y'all. They're called the Pharisees. Y'all have heard the Pharisees in the Bible. They're the rulers of the synagogues, which are the churches, the temples. They're the rulers of the synagogues. They're the religious leaders. They make all the rules. They decide, you know, I don't know where this is going to be put and where that's going to be put and who gets to sit here, probably who gets to sing and who gets to come in. They do. They get to decide who gets to come into the synagogue and who doesn't. They make all these rules. And it's their way or no way, always. And they know what's best because they're the rule keepers, okay? So they're the Pharisees. So the neighbors and the friends, they take this man to the Pharisees. And this is what happened. It says, then the people took to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. And the day Jesus that had made mud and healed his eyes was a Sabbath. Okay, now y'all, we got to stop right here. We got to talk about the Sabbath just for a second. Y'all know what the Sabbath means. It means you're supposed to rest, right? It means you're supposed, that's a day of rest. All right, so let's keep going. So now the Pharisees asked the man, how did you get your sight? And he answered, and he put mud on my eyes. I washed and now I can see. Some of the Pharisees were saying, this man does not keep the Sabbath day. Therefore, he is not from God. Y'all, these men, these know-it-alls, they said that because Jesus, this man that calls himself Jesus, they said because he healed someone on the Sabbath, that made him a sinner. And if he was a sinner, they said there's no way that he can be Jesus. Y'all, I think earlier today, I kind of thought of it like this. They pick everything apart. You know how you see a highly scrutinized trial on TV? You know, and it's so obvious, you know, it's so obvious that the person is guilty. I mean, it's just all the evidence is on one side. Y'all have heard of this before. And these big time lawyers, they'll go and pick out one little bitty tiny thing, like they didn't cross their T, or maybe they didn't read them their rights in the right tone. You know the ridiculous stuff I'm talking about? Well, that's exactly what these Pharisees did. They picked out one rule, one little thing. They took it totally out of context. And they said, there's no way he can be Jesus because he is a sinner, because he healed on the Sabbath. So they asked the man again, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. And the man answered, he is a prophet. And the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and now could see. So, listen to this next part. It says, so they sent for the man's parents and they asked them, and I think this is the saddest part of this story. I think maybe not saddest, but it's so disturbing to me. They asked the parents. They said, is this your son? You say that he was born blind? Then how does he see now? And his parents answered, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind, duh. But we don't know how he can see now. We don't know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's old enough to answer for himself. Y'all, this man's parents, this blind man's parents, they threw him right up under the bus and rolled over him 2 or 3 times. Y'all, they just played dumb. Side note here, y'all. If we think we can go through this life and stand before the Lord one day and play dumb, I'm sorry, it's not going to work. It didn't work then, and it won't work. It won't work when we face Jesus, because we're going to answer for every single word we said or we didn't say. And you can't just go through playing dumb. I'm sorry, but you can't just go through and say, well, I didn't know. Or, you know, I didn't understand my Bible. Or I didn't know you wanted me to talk to them. No, no, there will be no excuses, none at all. But these parents here, they threw their son under the bus. And you're probably like, why? Why would they do that? Listen to what Jesus says. He says his parents said this because they were afraid of those Pharisees. Afraid of them? The Jews, you listening? The Jews had already decided that anyone who said that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. They were afraid, y'all. They were afraid they were going to be thrown out of the synagogue. Oh, you can't be thrown out of the synagogue. I won't get to go serve. I won't get to go do this. I won't get to go worship. I won't get to do... No. We can't be thrown out of the synagogue. So in other words, their fear of these bullies, that's really what I like to call them, know-it-alls and bullies, because that's what they were. These bullies, their fear for these bullies, y'all, was greater than their love for their son. Isn't that sad? And you want to know something else? Their fear was greater, not only greater than their love for their son, but it was greater than their love for Jesus. And that's what breaks my heart right there, that they let that fear of those people do that to them. So, for the second time, this is absolutely hilarious. Y'all, this is better than a movie. Okay? To me, this is just better than any movie you can go and watch. This next part is hilarious, because if these people are saying that Jesus, this is not Jesus, then what? You know, if you knew something really wasn't real, wouldn't you just walk off and say, shh, forget it. I'm not wasting my time on that. But you know, they knew deep down inside. They knew deep down inside. Listen to this. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and they said, you should give glory. You should give God the glory by telling the truth. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered, I don't know if he is a sinner. Oh, this part right here gets me. He said, I don't know. I don't know if he's a sinner, but one thing I do know, I was blind and now I can see. And they ask more questions, y'all. Here we go. More questions. They ask, what did he do to you? How did he make you see again? And he answered, listen to what he said to him. He said, I have already told you that, but you would not listen to me. I think that's so funny how he's talking to these bullies. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his followers too? Uh-oh, I bet they loved that, didn't they? And then they insulted him and they said, I'm losing my part here. They insulted him. And they said, you are his follower, but we are followers of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. And the man answered, this is a very strange thing. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We all know that God does not listen to sinners, but God listens to anyone who worships and obeys him. And nobody has ever heard of anyone giving sight to a man born blind. And if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered and they said, you were born full of sin. Are you trying to teach us? And look what they did next. Oh, they were so mad at this man because he had tested them. He said, they threw him out. They threw him out of the synagogue. Let me tell you something, y'all. That was the best thing that could have ever happened to that man. He got thrown out of there. That was the best thing that ever happened to him, was to get away from those people. Are there people that you and I need to get away from? I'm not saying we don't need to witness to people and talk to people, y'all. But if there are people that are pulling us down, We need godly people around us, y'all. God didn't call us to be good, okay? Let's get that, okay? He didn't call us to be good. He called us to be godly. He called us to be holy. Did I say holier than thou? No, I said holy. He called us to be holy. He called us to be righteous and right standing with him and pure. Y'all, that means we can't go out here and still live in sin. Because when the Holy Spirit comes and abides in us, we're not going to do those things we used to do. We're not going to because we're a different person now. Okay? But that was the best thing that could have ever happened to that man. They threw him out. So look at the next part. We're almost through. Jesus heard. Jesus heard in verse 35. It says, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. So Jesus found the man and he said, now y'all got to remember, hang on with me, okay? The man was blind. He put paste on his eyes. He went and washed. And when he came back, he didn't know what man had done this, okay? So he does not know who Jesus is. We have to understand that, okay? But Jesus went and found him. And he said, do you believe in the Son of God? And he asked, the man asked, who is the Son of Man? He said, who is the Son of Man, sir? Tell me so I can believe in him. And Jesus said to him, you have already seen him. The Son of Man is the one who is talking to you right now. And he said, yes, Lord, I believe. And then the man bowed down and he worshiped Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture right there? He finally got to meet him face to face, his Savior face to face. I just think that is so awesome. I got a butt coming. Y'all ready for it? I don't want to squish this whole story. But y'all, I truly don't believe that that was when this man accepted Christ. I don't. I think it started back at the beginning of this story. It started when he allowed Jesus to put the mud on his eyes. It started happening when he said, I don't care what you neighbors think. I don't care what you so-called friends think. I don't care what my parents say. And I sure don't care what you Pharisees say. Y'all, this poor beggar, this man, this probably nothing that nobody wanted to have anything to do with, he was going toe-to-toe, head-to-head with the Pharisees, y'all. He stood up to them. He said, I don't have to have any of that. I don't want any of that. I don't have to have my friends. I don't have to have the synagogue. I don't have to have any of that. Just give me Jesus. That's what he said. I think that's when his salvation began. I think believing and worshiping was a result of that. James chapter 2 says that even the demons believe. You know what that means? That means Satan believes. Satan believes in Jesus right now. Anybody can say they believe in Jesus. Y'all, it's more than just believing, okay? It's more than just believing. It's turning. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. It's more than just believing. Believing and worshiping is a result of our action, okay? I heard a really smart young lady say, we're not human doings. We're human beings, okay? It's not about what we do so much. It's who we are. We're human beings. It's who we are in Christ. So as we finish up real quick, it said, I want to read that again. He said, yes, Lord, I believe. And then the man bowed and worshiped Jesus. And Jesus said, I came into this world. Oh, y'all better hold on to this, okay? Because this is a riddle, okay? It is to me anyway. Jesus said, I came into this world so that the world could be judged. I came so that the blind could see and so that those who see will become blind. Are y'all like me? Did y'all get that the first time? Because I didn't. Come on, anybody that really got that the first time, raise your hand. I was the same way. I had to read that about 400 times. Really, I did. I came so that the blind could see, and so that those who see will become blind. Y'all, before we can be saved, before we can truly go all in with Jesus, we have to realize we're lost. We have to realize we're in need of a Savior. Okay? I'm going to read this again. And instead of saying blind, I'm going to say lost and saved. Okay? So it says, I came so that the lost could see, and so that those who are lost will become saved. Does that make sense to y'all? We have to be blind before we can see. Remember the Pharisees? They thought they had it all together. They were the boss. They had everything right. Those were the ones that were really blind. Do you get it? Those were the ones that were really blind because they said they could see. They really couldn't. They had it all wrong. So when we think we have it all together, when we think, I'm okay, I go to church, I'm a good person, I greet, I work in the nursery. Those are all great things. Those are all great things that the Lord wants us to do. Don't get me wrong. Tracy and Greg will shoot me for saying that the Lord doesn't want us to do those things, because he does. He does want us to do all of those things, but not first. That's not what he wants first. He wants our heart first. He wants all of our heart, not just part of it. And I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid that there's so many people out there that think that because they do this and they do this and they do this and this, that they're okay. But that's not how it works. He wants us to go all in with him. He wants us to give up everything else, our hopes, our dreams, our lives, and just say, Lord, whatever you want for me is what I'll have. So the last two verses, Brandon, will you put those last two verses up for us, please? Y'all know those old Pharisees were near, don't you? Some Pharisees as were standing by, nearby, heard him, and they asked, I bet, I just wonder how they said it. Do you think they said, are you saying we're blind? I doubt they said it like that. I bet they said, oh, excuse me, are you this person who says you are Jesus? Are you saying that we're blind? With probably an attitude. And this is what Jesus said back. He said, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see. Y'all, we gotta be blind first. Can you go back to a time? Can you go back to a place, not where you raised your hand, not where you had a spiritual experience, but a time where you know that you realized, like this man, you were desperate and you realized, all I need is Jesus. All I need is the Lord. That's all I need. Because see, salvation is not about a spiritual experience. It's not about walking the aisle. It's not about praying this prayer. It's about being transformed. Can you go back and say, see, let me tell you this real quick. I love it when Brother Greg and Tracy both say, you know, back before we got saved. Can you say that? Can you say before? That's how I used to be. This is who I am now. This is who I am now. Can you say that? That's really all I have tonight. But if y'all will, just stand up just for a moment. If we could just kind of put the lights down just for a second. Y'all do me a favor and let's just close our eyes real quick, okay? Just close your eyes. And I just want you to really, really press into the Lord right now, okay? Just press into the Lord and just search your heart. Y'all, Let's be real with God. Y'all, we have to get this right. We have to get this right. We have to. Can you go back to a time where you know Jesus changed you? That you're not just going through the motions and you're just trying to be a good person. Because I'm going to tell you something. You may say, boy, Miss Cindy knows a lot about being a know-it-all, doesn't she? She knows a lot about those Pharisees. Well, I want to tell you something, y'all. I was one of those Pharisees. I was one of them. I thought because I went to church and I played the piano for 32 years every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night that I was this great Christian. I thought because I taught Sunday school and I thought because I did all this stuff for the Lord that I was just signed, sealed, and delivered. I was going to be the first one standing in heaven. But a few years ago, the Lord showed me that wasn't what it was about, y'all. It's about walking with Him. It's about sincerely walking with Him every day. It's about saying, I give up my friends. I give up whatever is standing in the way of you, Jesus. And push all of that aside and go all in. Y'all got to remember, we can't go halfway. If any of our prayer team is here, would y'all come down, please? Any of our prayer team, if you're here, just come down. Y'all, if there's anybody here and you just, look at all these people that want to pray with y'all. Look at them. Look at all these people that are willing to pray with anybody. I don't want to play on your emotions. I'm not here to do that. I'm so passionate about people walking, really and truly walking with Christ, because that's where I was. And I'm so afraid that there may be people that was in the same boat I was in. But if you're not sure that you've really been changed, if you're not sure if you've really been transformed, come down here and let one of these talk to you. Come down and just make that first step. Be like that blind man and, you know, just come on, just take that first step. Maybe you've got a loved one that's not walking with the Lord. Come and just pray with them.
I'd love for you to subscribe and maybe even leave a review. Y'all, it's absolutely free. And this way, you'll get a notification each time we have a new episode. We'll see you next week on the Real Walk Podcast.